So I think it's fair to say it is a whole new world. And was it only yesterday we were talking on the Inspired On Air programme, which we used to do on a monthly basis for Siren Radio? It may well return in the not-too-distant future. And we were asking Sarah Bullimore for her top 10 tips to working from home. Little did we realise, Sarah, how vital those top 10 tips would be.
Absolutely, weren't they, Justin? It seems so long ago now as well.
But hopefully people are still adhering to the whole system. I believe some of your top tips were make sure you get dressed, get into a routine, work through that process. You know, clearly you're a pioneer, as we always said you have been, Sarah, in terms of leading the way from working from home in this instance. And you said, yeah, fine, this is it. You know, someday the entire world will be following this if they can.
Absolutely.
Welcome back to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, Sarah Bullimore. We've just been speaking to Lauren Ward, your good self, of course, as artistic director. We've defined Lauren as essential marketing volunteer, because I thought that
Absolutely.
Was very good.
Yeah,
you know,
my God, yeah.
The essential was our prefix, so we thought, you know, we'd add to that from that line as well. And the New York Book Festival is taking place online. Very exciting. Looking good. 10th to the 12th of July. Was this something you always had in mind as a backup, or was it a case of, well, we'll see what happens?
Yeah, we, in March, early March, when we kind of had a feeling, but we weren't quite sure, you know, what was happening, it was in our backup plan then already. So we were very lucky that we'd already met the ladies who ran the author webinar pages, Iron Imprint. So we were already aware of them and chatting to them anyway. So we'd kind of got them to pencil the dates in their diary at that stage, just in case we needed it. So.
NewYorkFestival.org.uk. We've constantly said that website. We will continue to do it. It's the go-to place from that line. And the events are looking really quite exciting. I mean, Diddy Signals launches the whole thing, 10 a.m. on Friday the 10th of July on Facebook, completely free. Likewise, We Are the Champions festival launch. Will Susie be involved with We Are the Champions?
She sent a singing video in.
I thought she might.
Leading the singing rally.
I thought she might. You know, you cannot keep a graduate of the University of Lincoln out of the spotlight for too long. She works on that premise. And then, of course, Wellbeing Through Words, which I think was something that certainly Lauren was looking forward to, Leanne Moden. This is at a place that I was fortunate enough to actually host an event with another one of our regulars, who I believe was on last night, as far as the show is concerned. All be well. That's magician David Fox, where we had an evening of magic with David Fox at Carriages Cafe. But having said that, although that's the location, it is not, because as the hospitality industry waits with bated breath, is it 1 meter, is it 2 meters, etc., etc.? Is the sort of the line at this stage, Wellbeing Through Words will be an online event virtually from Carriages Cafe?
No, at the moment it's a real live event. It's the only real live event that we are doing. It's already got measures in place. So as long as the cafe are allowed to be open, which they're aiming to do that week, then we can safely run it. We're in that back room. It's got a separate entrance. It has, you know, doors that can be opened. And also, it's a very, very limited capacity workshop that we're running. Mm. So the social distancing is perfect because everybody has their own table. So it's such a perfect location, as you know, Alex, from when you've done stuff there to actually run stuff from very safely. So.
Yeah, I mean,
fingers crossed.
And indeed, hats off to the team at Carriages, because I know they work very hard to actually produce a really wonderful venue and wonderful location. Again, I'd love to be there myself, but I'm not sure, again, in terms of where we're coming through the whole process. As I said to Lauren, one of the things we can guarantee, hopefully at this stage with Siren and the Midweek Drive associated partners, is that we will happily sort of do pre-author interviews and anything else we can actually do to help through the process. Because, of course, on the Saturday, it's all online, from Crime Through the Ages, The Fall of the House of Byron with Emily Brand, The Burning Chambers, Kate Moss. Not the model, I presume. Just because there's an extra E. I presume it is Kate Moss as opposed to Kate Moss E.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
an E on the end.
Yeah, well, it's true, yeah. Bronte 200. And Sophie Hanna is back in the game again. Sophie, who I spoke to a good few years ago now, but it's quite some time. I think she was actually at one of the Middlesbrough Book Festivals back in the day. Back in the day, about a decade ago. Agatha, Poirot, and Me with Sophie Hanna. Great stuff from that. Zoom, of course, makes an appearance on the Sunday with a memory-making writing workshop between 10:15 and 12:15. Now, presumably, in terms of the costing of these things, you pay online.
You do, yes.
Just wanted to clarify that.
Yes, absolutely. No on the doors for any of these, and of course on the doors for online. It's quite confusing.
It certainly is something, and I'm speaking of somebody who is not digitally deficient, although I am sometimes digitally disadvantaged, but that's another line entirely. But there is a sort of time where, you know, it's not completely new. We're sort of used to this thing, but we're also used to the frustrations and the aspects that come through with that. And maybe sometimes I just tend to say, you know, there is this assumption that, yeah, we just literally just press the button and it all happens.
Absolutely, can
be a bit more challenging than that.
It's been a challenge, and it still is a challenge to get through. And people do need to remember, for any online events that you need to pay for, you need to give yourself time to do it. You can't just do it at the last minute. If you go, oh, I happen to be three, it's advised, because you need to book the tickets and go through that process. But then you get a registration link, and then you have to register to get your actual unique passcode to go into the room. So it's worth kind of getting yourself a little bit organized and planning it all in advance.
One of the things we're going to be talking about, not this week, but next week, was with writer George Mann, who I think you might have actually encountered. Yeah. He does some wonderful stuff for Doctor Who and other sort of areas. But George was part of the Lucasfilm online convention. And, of course, happening in August, there's this huge free-to-attend DC Comic-Con that they're adjusting. And I think it'll be interesting to see how, in terms of the global reach, because that's something, I mean, Lauren, very excited. Clearly, the New York Book Festival has been international before. It's had an international outreach. It's had opportunity through the web to kind of reach across the borders, across the countries and so on. But this is the first time, clearly, the focus is more or less 85, as you say, 95% all online from that particular area.
Absolutely, yeah. So we're just hoping that everybody finds us and comes and supports the festival, really, to make sure that we're here in 2021.
Exactly. We haven't forgotten, of course, on the other events on the Sunday, Dressed for War with Julie Summers. Is that going to be War for Coronavirus, where we all get dressed as vaccine writers?
No, it's going to be Beautiful History of the Vogue Editors, back to the 1940s.
Gothic Fiction with Jess Kidd, Francine Toon and Rhiannon Ward. And, of course, intriguing number, this Pickle Witch and Jack with Claire Barker.
This is our one kind of online event for children and their families, so it's recommended for ages 6 to 10. Hmm. So we've not been in the room when all the authors have been doing their tests, and apparently it's going to be great fun. Do not expect a normal just someone talking at you. There are experiments and all sorts going on, so it's going to be great fun.
And as I said to Lauren, I think even though you could say, you can even take your computer out in the garden and look at that, sometimes, even if it is sunny, you don't want the sun to interfere with things. Like that. I don't know, it's mixed feeling. You know, it's a balance. I mean, it could almost be one of those times where you're hoping that maybe the weather is a bit cloudy, so you actually go indoors and experience the thing.
Who knows?
Finally, of course, we've got an interview with Giles Christian with Camelot online between 3:30 and 4:30 on the Sunday. Tickets for the last batch of events, £2.50, or indeed, we've got £2.50 here, or free. Is that a case of free for the usual senior folk and so on?
It's for all our festival friends this year.
Festival,
they
thank
normally
you.
Get quite a lot of
thank
benefits
you.
And things. So all the main online offer events are free if you become a festival friend.
Which makes it all worthwhile.
Absolutely.
Just going.
It does.
To
if you
Newark,
do that, you make a saving of £7.50 if you go to all the events. So
newarkbookfestival.org.uk. It's happening online between the 10th and 12th of July, but we would recommend, I presume, that you should really get registered and signed up by the 7th
absolutely.
Of July at the latest.
Absolutely. Start to get yourself in now, get organised. You can also order all your festival bookshop books as well now and actually do some reading beforehand. So we're working with the bookcase in Loudon ahead, so they've got a page on their website where people can go and get all their books. And we're also getting signed edition too, so we're not missing out on the signing as well after an event.
And that is why you are the artistic director, Sarah Bullimore. I mean, I would say the festival is irrelevant. You are the artistic director. I'm sure that Glastonbury would probably have gone ahead if they'd employ your good self. It's another line entirely. Sarah, it's been fantastic sharing some thoughts with your good self. I'm sure we'll speak
thank
before
you.
The festival. I know and maybe even during it as well. We'll see how things can develop. As long as we've got a telephone line that kind of works, at least we can work on that premise for old school stuff. Old school stuff. You can download the things online as well. But
absolutely.
Sarah, we will speak again soon. Stay safe and keep on keeping on.
Thank you. You too, Alex. Take care.
Oh,
So, robots. We have certainly been aware of them for many, many, many years with respect to automata and so on. In fact, this year we're almost approaching the centenary of the release of Carol Čapek's Rossum's Universal Robots, and that ended in tears, maybe setting the scene for a whole variety of other bits and pieces, which maybe, whether you view them as being our friendly souls like C-3PO and R2-D2, or indeed the silent running Huey, Louie and Dewey, they're with us, they're doing their own thing, and maybe we should actually be using them more when it comes to curbing pandemics like, of course, COVID-19. Now, to talk about this, as we celebrate National Robotics Week, we're delighted to welcome from the School of Mechanical Engineering at the University of Leeds the awesomely talented Professor Robert Richardson. How are you, Robert?
Thank you. Yeah, good afternoon.
And I think it's fair to say we're not doing a Turing test, so we are hopefully two human beings communicating with each other as opposed to artificial intelligence, or indeed artificial general intelligence, AGI, which I think is being touted as the next stage forward. One of the things, Robert, about this particular aspect in terms of robots is people tend to be polarised by their views, and the research in the robotics industry has come up with some really interesting things in terms of the way in which mass production aspects with respect to coping with COVID-19 and indeed future pandemics which might be occurring, they all impact on this. But are people still very suspicious when you say, yes, I'm part of the robotics and automotive autonomic nervous system research here?
No, I think people actually are getting much more used to the idea of technology and have seen the benefits of technology. So I think people, when I say to them that I do robotics, for example, they're generally really interested, really excited by the idea of it. Of course, there's a difference between being excited about a robot that's going to be in space or somewhere else and having a robot in your house. But I do believe that people actually are really quite open to that and they can see the benefits of them. So I think that over the last few years, they've become less sensitized to them and quite used to seeing that kind of thing around.
Back in the day when we used to have open days in Flesh World as opposed to virtual open days, I know Mark at the University of Lincoln was a very popular aspect with respect to visitors. But as I said, we've kind of known about robots and automata for quite some time. It's the fifth year of UK Robotics Week that we're right in the heart of now, again organised by the UK Robotics and Autonomous Systems Network. Clearly, science fiction, it's worked on the premise of Imagineering, but for every kind of good robot, or Robbie the Robot, shall we say, there's always James Cameron's Terminator that springs to mind, and there's a bit of a suspicion in terms of, hang on, what happens if the machines actually get cleverer than we human beings?
I mean, that's, of course, one of the general concerns. But I think you think of robots really as being smart tools. So all the things we're doing are around people that can actually help you, they can do things, they can take some of the physical load from you, so do things for you, but also some of the thinking, perhaps, you know, in terms of doing certain kinds of tasks, but they're always going to be guided, led, and working for people. So I think that the kind of thought about robots actually having independent thought, there's a difference between a robot learning, for example, to pick a bottle up, which we can do, we can see images of the bottle and pick it up. That's very different than having what we call independent thought and deciding, actually, today I'm going to have a day off, I'm going to just sit in bed or something, or today I'm going to go into something else. That's a very different kind of thing.
Do the two things in terms of research very much fit together in terms of artificial intelligence making smarter robots, or are they kind of separate branches of research, or is it a case of, well, of course, we're heading towards singularity?
Well, I think so. Of course, the AI side of things is able to learn and these days, of course, access the cloud information elsewhere, so it has lots of knowledge about what's going on. But we really do things physical in the real world as well. So if you have just purely AI, it can do things, it can make decisions in a computer science sense, but it can't do anything. So what we need is smart machines that have great physical ability to be able to do things efficiently, environmentally friendly. But also we need, of course, the machine learning intelligence side of things, right, to make choices and decisions. So you need both of them, I think. So a machine of the future will be definitely a fusion of these two aspects together to make kind of a really useful robotic tool.
Now, the headline of this particular piece was clearly whether robots could help curb pandemics like the one we're either just coming out of, going to go into another second wave, or whatever. I mean, I'm sure there are one or two people who would say, yeah, can we not have a robot as Prime Minister? They're going to do a better job. No comment. We're not going to go political on this. But in terms of that, would you like to just talk us through how robots and the robotics industry could actually help in the battle against COVID-19 and possible future pandemics?
Yeah, so one thing they can do, of course, we have robots already in factories that are making things very efficiently. When we first had the pandemic, we had this requirement for different things, protective equipment, of course, and people were working really hard doing amazing things to create this kind of equipment. But a factory that has more robots, that is more robotized, can actually adapt very quickly to be able to change what it's producing. So one day it's producing bottles, perhaps in 2 days' time it's producing face masks, for example. So it's much more a flexible, resilient way of doing things. Of course, also we've actually waited for like deliveries and things. So things people are delivering to our house, people are putting themselves in harm's way. So we can use robotic devices to deliver things. If it's small, potentially it could come via a drone in the sky, or for large deliveries, potentially via an autonomous car. And that's certainly one way of actually reducing the contact of things. And also, we've always wanted to offer clean spaces, have clean spaces, but now more than ever, we want to have spaces that are really hygienically clean. So we can use robots to do more cleaning. And of course, the good thing about that is we don't put people in harm's way, so the robots can do the cleaning. And if they are cleaning things which are hazardous, then of course no one's there to be fall ill with it.
Yeah. Although I suppose there is that notion of, oh, it's a computer virus he's got, oh dear Lord, that's another line entirely. Let's perhaps not go there. UK Robotics Week, fantastic that it's taking place. An awful lot of events are online. Would you like to just share with us, as the chair, of course, of the whole organising body behind the UK Robotics Week, what kind of things are you looking to see developed, presumably online, over the week itself?
Yeah, so this year is a bit different. So normally we have, of course, huge amounts of events where people can go physically to them, but this year is different. We still have lots of things going on. So we have lots of webinars so people can log on, learn about medical robots, learn about robots in oil and gas. We have a school robot challenge, so you can download an app to your tablet or your phone, and you can build a robot, try out an environment, and actually try to compete for a prize in that sense. There's also webinars about how you can go learn about making robots and what that kind of thing is going on. So, my doorbell. And lots of things going on. So, yeah, so jam-packed agenda.
If only you had a robotic butler to actually go and answer your doorbell. Do you need to take that? Or
that's
can we get you? Okay. It's just, you know, just that one moment. In terms of breakthroughs, though, are we talking about the notion of autonomous cars, driverless cars that we've heard about? And again, you've got that notion there, which I think is actually classified as philosophically as the carriage problem. Which decision does the robot actually make in order to actually cause the least amount of harm to life? Does it actually sort of save the driver? Does it save the pet, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, there's lots of philosophical debates going on about that. From your own perspective, Robert, what would you say we can look forward to over the next 5 years?
Yes, I think the next 5 years, people often ask me what's going to be the most exciting development in robotics, and they probably expect me to say things like space robots, robots going to different worlds. But if you, which of course is amazing, but if you look at what's going to make the biggest difference for us as individuals, I think it's going to be perhaps more the perhaps dull robots, so robots to maintain the city, for example, to maintain the pipes, maintain things like that. If we do that, we can stop leakage. So lots of that sort of thing going on. Robots in agriculture, so being able to sort of pick fruit. There's a whole thing about the low-touch economy, back to the pandemic sort of issues. Can we try to get things from the field to the house, the least possible contact from people? Lots of work in that area. And like you say, autonomous cars are really coming on rapid leaps and bounds. So we're going to see 5 years. I think we already can see some things. Potentially there'll be more researchy things in 5 years, but certainly very soon we'll have the reality of autonomous cars.
Robert, I think I asked you this a few years ago, but do you have any particular favourite robots from the world of science fiction? I mean, I'll throw my two pennies into that. I've always had a soft spot for Wall-E and indeed Robert the Robot from Fireball XL5.
Actually, I was going to say exactly the same thing. I loved Wally the robot from the cartoon film. That was amazing. So, yeah, when I look at a lot of these robots, I think they kind of inspire me and make me want to do more. But they're amazing.
Fantastic stuff. Robert, it's been awesome sharing some thoughts with your good self. Just point the listener into a place that they go to if they want to find out more information about National Robotics Week or indeed the fabulous work that you're doing at the University of Leeds.
Yeah, so you can follow us on Twitter, so at UK Robotics. Or go to our website, which is UKRAS, that's UKRAS.org.
There's a long debate. We could actually have about automated bots on Twitter and social networking sites as well, but that's another line for another debate. For the moment, Robert, many thanks indeed. We hope we'll be able to speak with you again in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, fine.
Professor Robert Richardson from the School of Mechanical Engineering at the University of Leeds, also Director of the Institute of Design, Robotics and Optimization. Many thanks indeed.
Hey there, everybody. I'm filmmaker, podcaster, California State Certified Violence Prevention Specialist and podiatrist to the stars, Phil Lairness. And I've been proud to be a U.S. cultural correspondent for Alex Lefchuk's Midweek Drive program for many years now. And I congratulate you, dear listener, on having found this oasis of podcast audio magic in the cosmos, or on your internet-equipped mobile device, or your computer.
Quite right time. Two, indeed. Give me just a little more time as we celebrate National Robotics Week. We'll be speaking to Professor Robert Richardson in the not-too-distant future. But now it is time for the moment where, a bit like the unveiling of the new fixtures in sporting competitions, a bit like the unveiling of the Academy Award nominations, and indeed the BAFTAs and so on, the tension mounts on the weekly basis to find out the thoughts of our ace correspondent and Starburst lead writer, the awesome Robin Pierce in Wales. Welcome back, Robin.
Hi. Now, just cotton picking second before we get started and down to business. Much as I love that song, and, you know, for me, you can never have enough Motown. Is that a hint that I tend to be overly verbose and I run over my time? Is that what you're trying to tell me, Mr. Lefchuk?
Richard Fitzwilliams and Robin Pierce put together, effectively, it solves any streaming service's need for content in any way, shape, or form. That's all I will say.
You know, I'm going to take that as a compliment and just go with it. My little chest is beaming with pride. Hey, last week, was there a communication problem I wasn't aware of? Because I listened to the Midweek Drive, because I'm contracted to review the Midweek Drive, and I sat here yesterday so that my notes and my thoughts would be fresh. Was I on the midweek drive? I was not. I had to look for myself on the morning drive.
This is true. We've transferred you over to the morning packages because we felt that there was too much juice to be squeezed into the evening slot. So this week you're on the morning. Next week you're on the morning. The brightness of Robin Williams, obviously.
Last week you called me Robin Williams. No, again, I was flattered.
It's because I've always seen your good self and Maria as being the Mork and Mindy of Wales in so many ways.
Oh, she's going to love that. So I am reviewing the midweek drive.
Yeah, or you can do both if you wish. It's entirely up to yourself. We now, hopefully, for the next few weeks, we actually have 4 hours of goodness to peruse, if you wish.
Ah, but I heard, because I sneaked over, and I listened to Miss Sheehan's return.
Yes.
And I heard you mention reviewing to her. So I'll do one, she can do the other.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, Eloise, Eleanor, it's all very confusing. We have the return of Hannah Brown as well in the near future.
Tell me, are you back in Mission Control? I got the impression that you were.
Well, I am back in the forerunner to Mission Control, which would be a bit like saying I'm in NCC 1701 as opposed to NCC 1701 A, B, C, D, or E.
But NCC 1701 is the classic.
Well, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And with Spike on one side and Jess on the other and a system in betwixt times at the James Cook University Hospital, we are continuing to do that and will proceed to do this for the foreseeable future.
Awesomeness. Now, I'm not in a race to out-talk Richard Fitzwilliams, so I suppose I'd better get on with it. Now then. Okay, Midweek Drive. Recorded June 13th. Mm-hmm. Gwyneth Griffiths. This is another thing. They were the wrong way around on the podcast site. So I listened to part two first.
Oh, yes.
I was in a state of total discombobulation, yes.
It's called the timey-wimeyness nature of the world.
Yes. Also, the non-linearness of the way you put things up on your Podbean. Oh. Right then. Gwyneth Griffiths was the first voice I heard, and I always enjoy hearing from her because she is one of us. I mean, okay, I don't do cosplay because, you know, I'm not exactly built for cosplay. If I was going to cosplay, I'd probably cosplay as Batman because the cape could hide so many sins. But always good to hear from her. And, of course, she was talking about the hammering that the convention circuit has taken. I feel this keenly myself because I was unable to get to Starburst, I was unable to get to the Sci-Fi Weekender, unable to do a meet and greet with William Shatner. You know, yourself, sir, you were talking about doing a symposium at some point in May.
We had the symposium, we had Sci-Fi Weekender, I think we were on the joint panel there, we also had Sci-Fi Scarborough, Geeking Beside the Seaside, and so on.
So, okay, I'm just taking a rest, and I'll be doing it all next year, I suppose. Face mask wearing. I'm surprised that in Wales that's not sort of mandatory now, not even on public transport or public transport when it comes back. But I'm all for the designer face masks. I myself have bought a couple of reusable face masks in the form of the lower half of a skull, which I have worn round a supermarket many times and have cleared the produce aisle just by stopping there and staring in a long black raincoat pretending to be the Grim Reaper. But hey, that's just a behavioural disorder, right? Okay, then she talked about box sets. I never was a Red Dwarf fan. I'm sorry, Gwyneth. But I've watched some Gotham, I've watched some seasons of The Big Bang Theory again, and all of, now do you remember this blast from the past, Car 54, where are you?
Yes, but if I was choosing a particular one, I'd say go for Teen Titans Go. TEENTITANS, Teen Titans Go.
I quite like the Teen Titans Go. I like the movie. The series hasn't really struck home with me. I've been watching the Harley Quinn series on E4, and other than the novelty for the first half of episode one of having beloved DC characters use all kinds of potty mouth, it's got nothing going for it at all. It's not even remotely funny.
Yeah, I mean, similar
and
kind
as soon
of...
as you've heard the Joker say a word once,
mm.
you know, the second time it's less shocking.
Mm.
The third time it's like, huh.
Yeah, it's the darker side of the DC Universe, which is one of the reasons why the forthcoming HBO Snyder Cut, as it's being referred to, as Justice League, I'm not sure. It may work, it may not work.
I could do with seeing some more Justice League, especially being that what they cut out was a big slice of Darkseid.
True, and that's Darkseid, D-A-R-K-S-E-I-D, just in
that
case you're...
That is correct, and for those people who don't know, just think of Darkseid as DC's Thanos.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Mm. Kaylee Carr, I don't remember having heard from Kaylee Carr before.
No. Again, one of our blasts from the past, which we like to emerge at least one each week.
And it was really inspirational hearing you talk to her, and how she has dealt with being on the front line during this crisis. Going into adult nursing, we need more people like her. She is truly inspirational. And if Kaylee is listening, and I'm kind of hoping that she is, if she isn't, maybe you can pass it on my behalf, my entire family's behalf, Kaylee, thank you for all that you are doing, all that you have done, and all that you will do in your career. Right then, moving on to Graham Harper. Insights on directing remotely were intriguing, because when I did a set visit for an upcoming vampire film at the tail end of last year, I was struck by the fact that even though coronavirus wasn't a thing back then in November, that the director would give his instructions, then go back to a little tent and watch everything on a monitor. I thought they, like Graham, that they'd need to actually be there and, you know, not necessarily watch the whole thing on a screen, but actually be there on set. And then he'd say cut in his tent, then somebody else would say cut, then somebody else would say cut, and then somebody else would say cut. It was all quite bizarre. Eva McDonald, CD upcoming. We're going to need to know when that is, when studio's available, obviously. Now, she was a big Disney fan, wasn't she?
Mm. It's almost as though Disney Princesses was actually dedicated just for Eva, I would have thought.
Well, you mentioned The Rescuers, and to me, you're not going to like this. The Rescuers is one of those that I will watch, but it's okay. Mm. If I'm watching them in sequence, I'll watch it to, you know, get through to the next one.
The Rescuers Down Under.
If this was a time that Disney were trying to find their way.
Don Bluth had left them. He decided to do his own thing after working with them. They were uncertain. Pixar hadn't
like
really come back.
Oh, like the secret of Nim and all
yes.
that kind of stuff.
Yes.
I don't dislike it, but I find it lukewarm. I mean, I'm a big fan of Golden Age Disney and some of their Silver Age stuff.
Tragically, we're not likely to see Song of the South in any time in the next 100 years, I would have thought, really.
Come to my house, I've got it on disc. Anyway.
And that's one of the reasons why people are saying, keep your physical media.
Exactly.
Keep your physical media.
Yes. Yes. Now then, part one. Zoe Jameson's success. That has warmed the cockles of my fetid little pit to the heart.
Huh.
And I'd like to thank you, Alex, for your exuberant reassurance that I'm not a creepy stalker peeping in the bathroom window.
Uh-huh.
You know, every time you mentioned it, I was sinking lower and lower and lower into my seat. And I was thinking, last week he told me stop digging. Poppy Booth. Now, I liked the phrase that was used with not dealing with the flesh world at all. I like that phrase, you know, when you were talking about Zoom. Now, Zoom may well be the tool of the future. I've used it once and once only. That was a couple of weeks ago when we Starbursters decided to have a sci-fi quiz one evening via Zoom. And I found the audio's a bit dodgy on it, isn't it?
Robin, your Skype link has proven to be a bit dodgy when we were working in a studio that actually had Skype connections, so it may just be the part of Wales you're based in.
I'll have you know I've got 150 megabit fiber connection.
In which case, yeah. I can't say with Zoom because I'm yet have not actually emerged as a Zoom user. I still tend to think of who's Zooming
who. You're taking a very wise course here in going audio only in your online conferencing. Because, I mean, you've seen it on the news where they go to various correspondents.
Yeah, you look at the background. I already had Tony Smith, one of our administrators in Lincoln. His first comment when he saw me with the on-camera thing was, I see your room looks just like your office. Ha, ha, ha. Yes, thank you.
But your office looks cosy. It looks like my study.
Mm.
My problem is you tend to look at people's nostrils.
Mm.
And you don't want to look at their nostrils,
no.
Do you?
No, it's not good.
Some people, it's like looking in a two-car garage.
Yeah. A hairy two-car garage, in fact.
Indeed. And let's not mention stalactites. Anyway, where was I? I was talking about Poppy Booth. Yes. Good luck on June the 22nd, Poppy. I am sure that degree is a certainty. Tessa's Tune of the Week. It was hummable, but equally kind of forgettable 5 minutes later.
Hmm.
I think they were going on about whiskey.
Bring it back. Bring it back home. Send the whiskey back home.
That's it. I was thinking then, bring it back home. That was the Moody Blues, wasn't it?
Hmm.
I'll give that one a 7. I did not dislike it. But then you went, Kenny Rogers.
Hmm.
Dear. And, you know, as I was listening to that, my esteemed colleague was also listening over there in Lincoln, and I was reprimanded via messenger for disrespecting Kenny Rogers on air on last week's show, when I did a warbling, "You took a fine time to leave me," and my apologies to Kenny Rogers and his estate and any member of the Sheehan family that I may have upset. I could feel the withering gaze. Sarah Huntley, observation on social media. Good idea to have not only a media-free day, but don't look at a screen or phone at all day. But it's harder to do than to say. I mean, I could happily drop Facebook, I think, but I don't think I could drop Messenger. You know, it's my one lifeline to the outside world. I didn't listen to the morning drive other than Eloise's bit, because you were talking about the King's Speech with Richard, and that's not exactly my ballpark.
I don't know. I mean, the King's Speech with the claw, surely it's got to be a double bill that's worth seeing.
No.
Or maybe The Incredible Melting Man, one of those would go there.
I did enjoy seeing the giant claw again. It's become quite a habit, and it's getting quite a few web hits that I'm covering some really frightful B-movies. And of course, it breaks the monotony as well. And I have a passion for collecting such nonsense, as you probably have.
And the location where people can find your podcasts, Robin, is, of course?
Oh, it's my website, www.robinpierce.co.uk. Robin Pierce, spelled RobinPierce. Do you want to know who my contributor of the week is?
We do.
MVC.
As opposed to I gave it the wrong acronym on one of the things last week. I think it said MFP, or most, which probably could have been translated as most favourite contributor, MFC.
Most favourite.
So, yeah. Anyway,
it sounds a little bit like Donald Trump is writing your script.
Do you know? Funny enough,
I use the bigliest words.
Yeah.
It goes to Kaylee.
Yes. Excellent.
For being an inspiration not only to older folk like myself, but hopefully to young people as well who will embrace nursing as a career. And, you know, thank you. So
Robin,
it's Kaylee.
It has been awesome sharing some thoughts once again with you. Same again, roughly about the same time next week.
Same time, same channel.
There's a holdup in the Bronx. Brooklyn's broken out in fights. There's a traffic jam in Harlem that's backed up to Jackson Heights. There's a scout troop short of child. Khrushchev's too and Idle Wild. Car 54, where are you? There's a holdup in the Bronx. Brooklyn's broken out in fights. There's a traffic jam in Harlem that's backed up to Jackson Heights. There's a scout troop short of child. Khrushchev's too and Idle Wild. Car 54, where are you?
Clearly, Car 54 is being driven by our next awesome contributor. It's the amazing Hannah Brown. How are you, Hannah?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Well, you know, gradually in this easing of lockdown, are we going to go 1 meter, 2 meters? Where are things going? Be alert, be sensible, blended learning. I mean, I don't know. I'm preparing my lectures for Histories of Journalism, which was the traditional line that used to be Origins of Modern Britain when you were actually with me, I believe. And it's they're all going to be delivered online. It's very, very strange, you know, wearing all kinds of hats. But yeah, we're getting through it. And you're no longer in Harwich, are you?
No, I'm in Chelmsford.
Yeah, interesting.
Just down the road.
Yeah.
Still an Essex.
Exactly. Still. So Chelmsford versus Harwich. We'll have to redig all the jingles and all the other factors as well from that point of view. So how has it been? Are you now freelancing? Are you now sending stuff out? Are you becoming complete? I mean, you were web girl before when it came to coordinating news stories on the web and writing all manner of wonderful material. Is that a case of that's the way it's going to be now? Bring on those virtual conventions. Bring on those virtual aspects. And meanwhile, I'll try and actually enjoy the latest incarnation of Harry Potter goodness that is Artemis Fowl.
I haven't actually read Artemis Fowl or seen any of that. No, I've seeing that online and I'm like, oh, this is something else I've got to go read and pay attention to. You've got a lot of time on hands.
I mean, I think both Artemis Fowl and Percy Jackson, Lightning Thief, kind of try to capture the magic of J.K. Rowling, but don't really succeed. I mean, again, I'm noted that I think it's Owen Colfer who produced Artemis Fowl, came up with a lot of fans saying that Disney have completely wrecked the book. They've completely, the movie is dreadful. It's not good at all. It's not a great movie, I have to say. But, I mean, wearing your fantasy hat, Hannah, I think it could be interesting to get your take on the whole thing, particularly the performance of Dame Judi Dench.
I'll have to give it a watch and take a look. Now, I have seen discussions online and people being disappointed with the adaption. So it leaves you conflicted as to whether to read the book first or watch the film, because sometimes when the adaption's not great, you can sometimes enjoy the film and then read the book and be like, oh, yeah, this is better. But you get the enjoyment of the film first time, but the ever confliction of a film and book fan.
Well, I haven't read any of the Artemis Fowl books, and as a movie just taken as its own, I would have thought, okay, but I can empathise with people saying, why did they not just do what they did with Harry Potter and simply have a faithful adaptation of the original novel? Never mind. Again, interesting times in terms of how Disney and the Mouse House is actually coping with it. Any thoughts on the suggestion that now Kevin Feige is going to be involved with the Star Wars universe? We're going to have everything set in the Mandalorian era.
I don't know. I'm a fan of Star Wars, but not enough to know all the ins and outs. I enjoy watching it.
Allowing for that, were you thumbs up, thumbs middle, or thumbs certainly down when it came to the last, or the Rise of Skywalker, I should say?
Middle to up, I'm going to say. I enjoyed it. I think it was a while ago I watched it. Trying to remember. No, I did enjoy it. I think there were some strange moments. I think with the main obviously three characters, they seem to be portraying them as like the new Luke, Leia and Hans, but I don't think they built up that relationship enough to warrant them being the new trio. And at the same time, there was the whole thing between Rey, Finn and Ben, because it was like at one point in, he's like, oh, I've got to tell you something, Rey, leading to think that he's going to be like, I like you, that date or something. But then at the end, she's like, nah, I'm gonna, spoilers, I should be careful what I say, but it goes the other way before something then else happens.
If you're going to go to Tatooine, you might as well set up on your own as opposed to worrying about other people. I mean, it's a bit like sort of shifting from Harwich to Chelmsford, I would have thought, in many ways. And I'm sure you're having to deal with droids rolling all around the place in Chelmsford, and it's understandable, you know.
Well, in fact, it's Chelmsford with loads of droids everywhere.
droids galore, it has to be said. Hannah, I remember the time when we used to share a studio together, and one of the things that you set to, and actually, to be fair, you maintained for, I think, at least 6 weeks, or maybe 6 months, to be fair, you actually monitored the movies that Richard Fitzwilliams reviewed.
I did, didn't I? Yes.
And I'm thinking maybe in this ease of lockdown or lockdown scenario, maybe you could do a similar thing with respect to Richard's reviews, which will be going on Thursdays, and maybe you might also like to contribute and... because he's basically doing two things. He's doing a movie which is online or streamed, and then he's also doing a movie which is a classic movie in his own intentions. The classic movies so far have been Gladiator and The King's Speech. This week he actually was reviewing The Wonderful World of The Devil Wears Prada. Next week it's La La Land. So I'm thinking, you know, if you're out for that, maybe you might like to, you know, that way you're kind of still bonded with Richard. in a way of actually, and also being a cinephile as well, because let's face it, you might be faced with that decision in a few months' time. Is this worth risking my life for, or shall I just wait until it's streamed?
That's a big dilemma.
Yeah.
My face one day.
A full screening of Harry Potter with the Harry Potter cast, would you actually risk, you know, a socially distanced system? I don't know. It is.
I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. If you're saying there's going to be a screening with the whole Harry Potter cast,
you'd be
socially distanced, I think I'd be there.
You'd be there.
Mask on, gloves on, social distance, but there. Selfie stick taken, long-distance photos.
Hannah, at least you've nailed your colours to the proverbial mask. As opposed to mask. How's it been going in terms of Chelmsford? I mean, you know, again, as the generation that we'll look back on these days and say, well, I was around when COVID-19 effectively saddled the country with debt for the entire 21st century and beyond. How's it been going from your own point of view?
It's been okay. It's been quite quiet. So been hanging around the flat quite a lot. Merging into the outside world. I'm doing the weekly shop as I'm the one who can drive. So,
well, there you go.
Get to see other people still exist.
You
know, and we've now gone out for walks in one of the parks in the city, and there's people there enjoying the sunshine. So.
One step at a time. Yeah. That's the important thing. So the more astute listener will actually maintain the fact that, well, Hannah hasn't answered your question about whether you'd be willing to actually kind of check out Richard Fitzwilliams' pieces. Of course, you don't have to listen live. They're going out on Thursday morning.
Oh,
it's pretty much
the
usual time. You can always listen to them on the southsidebroadcasting.podbean download, and usually on the title of the piece I actually give you the movies that he's actually reviewed. So will you be up for at least keeping a weather eye out on what Richard's getting up to?
Yes. Drop me a link again. I will,
of course,
go and find it and
I will
restart
do that.
My list. I have no idea where I put the old list.
No.
I can't remember what notebook it was in.
There have been so many things that have happened since then, Hannah. You know, graduation, challenges, working for e-magazines, working for e-online stuff, furloughed, all manner of challenges from that point of view. So it's understandable. And passing your driving test, all of these things are very important. Anyway, Tessa sends her best. She will be on, as she is inevitably, with respect to her tune of the week. In fact, she will have been on last night. It's very confusing. I best not try and cite time again in any way, shape or form. But I will say, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Hannah Brown?
I have, thank you.
Excellent. And again, we've given you a task for next week, in theory. Check out some of Richard Fitzwilliams' work. And if you can, check out Artemis Fowl on the Disney Plus channel. If you don't have Disney Plus, it's okay. But you do get 7 days free if you're a new subscriber, so technically you could actually make use of it. No, I don't know. I'd be fascinated to find out what you think of it. That presupposes an affirmative answer to the next question. Will you return?
Of course.